Lecture.
حجة الإسلام شيخ بهمنپور إسلاميك سكولر.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. We were talking about the traits of Imam Hussein's character, alayhi salam, and we mentioned a few anecdotes about different aspects of his ethical traits. One of the most manifest characteristics of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was his generosity, which became like a very popular and well-known concept among his contemporaries and people who traveled to Medina. The famous hadith from the Prophet that he said, I have made Hassan to inherit my awe and my leadership, haybati wa su'dadi. And I have made Hussein to inherit my generosity and my prudence and endurance. Of course, these attributes were found in all A'imma alayhimu salam, but sometimes some of these were more manifest, more popular, well known among others. And what is known about Imam Hussein very popularly, what was known to his contemporaries, was his generosity. He was very magnanimous. Whoever went and asked him something, he wouldn't have refused helping them. And this was inherited, of course, by his son Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala. If you remember the poem from Farazdaq about Imam Zainul Abidin at the time of Hisham ibn Abdul Malik, when he described his generosity, saying that مَا قَالَ لَا قَطُّ إِلَّا فِي تَشَهُّدِهِ لَوْلَا التَّشَهُّدُ لَكَانَ لَاؤُهُ نَعَمُ. He never has said no to anyone, Imam Zain al-Abidin. Never has refused any request. And if he was not going to say تَشَهُّد, say شَهَادَ, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, no word as such, no la, no negative word was ever existed in his vocabulary. Very nicely he has put it. And this was so about his father, of course, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now, one anecdote about, of course, these anecdotes are too many, most of them in the same vein. People going to Medina, being in trouble, in great debt, asking for someone who is the most generous in that city, and they are directed towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is mentioned by Khwarizmi in his book on Maqtal al-Hussein. But before talking about this anecdote, there is a hadith reported from Imam Hussein alayhi salam about generosity and about not disappointing anyone who asks you something. The hadith is very nice. He says, صاحب الحاجة لم يكرم وجهه عن سؤالك فأكرم وجهك عن رده. The one who has a request has not kept the dignity of his face, has actually violated his own dignity by asking you something. This is the case, isn't it? Whoever comes and asks you something when they are in need, when they are desperate, they have actually violated their own dignity. Now, Imam Hussein says, whoever asks you something has actually violated their own dignity, have lived their own dignity. So, you keep your dignity by not refusing them. I mean, if you refuse them, you have also violated your own dignity. Now, this question always comes up. I will talk about it a bit in more detail through this anecdote. But usually people come and ask you for help. well, it might not be a custom in this country. Of course, back in the East, this is a well-known custom. Sometimes it's bad, but most of the time it's good, especially when they are relatives, for example, and come and ask you for help, for financial help. If they are well-known people, well-reputed people, having the bad times, going through the hard times, well, it's good people ask each other for help. But the point is, what happens, usually we don't know whether the people who come and ask us about things, whether they are really in need, or it's only for the greed of having more that they come and ask you. They are not really through bad times. You might have a worse situation yourself, for example, and people coming and asking you about asking you for help or financial help. And especially this comes up when you go to Ziyarah, for example, you find lots of beggars coming and asking you for help. And you really don't know what to do. You know that most of these people are not in need. Or most of these people do not need to beg. They could go and work. But what should you do? Should you refuse them? It is, well, in our religious teaching, it is really bad, really against our standards, to refuse anyone asking something from you. This is what we have learned from our A'imma alayhi wasalam. But what if we know that it might encourage people not going to work, it might encourage people to become beggars and such things. Now, at the time of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, of course the same case is true. I mean, human life is usually the same throughout the history. And he was asked, what should we do about these people? He said, never refuse someone. If you think that someone is not in real need and they come and ask you, just help them with a very little amount, just because they have asked. The point in the Quran about giving charity, this is very important. And we have to distinguish between two things. People in need, in having been deprived, mahroom, as is mentioned in the Quran, and people who come and ask. The very act of asking brings a responsibility upon us. The very act of asking, even if they are not in need. If they are in need, they don't need to ask. We have the responsibility to help if we come to know about it. But if they come and ask, this very act, this is what Imam Hussein says, this is actually according to what we have learned from other A'imma, from the Prophet, from the Quran, that they are violating their own dignity. So you have to keep your dignity by not refusing them. In the Quran it is mentioned that وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. In their property, in their money, there is a right. There is a specific kind of amount put aside. This is about muttaqin. For the deprived and for those who come and ask. So these are two different things. People who ask and people who are deprived. You have to distinguish between these two. The deprived, they do not need to ask. It is our responsibility to help them if we are aware. And those who come and ask, they are either deprived or not. And in any case, this puts a right, a responsibility on our shoulder because they are asking. If you remember the dua Abu Hamza, which we recite in Ramadan nights, at the end, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Wa amartana alla narudda sa'ilan min abwabina. You have ordered us not to refuse, not to return any sa'il, anyone who comes and asks from us our doors. And we have come to ask you, so do not refuse us. And well, this Imam Sajjad could actually firmly and with quite a short conscience could state such a thing, because he never refused anyone coming and asking from his door. And now if, for example, we say, oh God, you have ordered us not to refuse anyone asking us from our doors, and now we have come to your door, so do not refuse us. And he would see that all the time we have been refusing people coming and asking us for help, then this would be a kind of ridiculing ourselves, actually. But this anecdote teaches us more about how should we set out to help people. This is a very, very interesting anecdote, actually. It is said that a Bedouin, an Arabi, came to Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. He said, Ya ibn Rasulullah, I have guaranteed a complete compensation of life. That's dia. Of course, we have dia for manslaughter, for unintentional killing, and dia for intentional killing, which is qisas, of course. But unintentional killing, for example, if someone unintentionally in an accident, like a car accident or any other accident, someone is killed. Well, the person who has been responsible for that killing should pay compensation for that dead person to their family. Salli ala Muhammad, salli ala Muhammad, salli ala Muhammad, salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, 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 wa ali Muhammad. Now, usually this is paid by the relatives of the one who has committed this. What if the relatives do not have any means to pay? Well, there is great difficulty. And sometimes very magnanimous, very people with great souls were there to say, for example, okay, leave this man, I will guarantee to pay for him. They might be relatives, they might not be relatives, but there were people, especially Bedouins, were very strong in this kind of character. They were very generous. Sometimes there were characters in them which made them very sublime and superior to other people in terms of their attitudes, their ethical attitudes. Now, this man was such a person. He came to Hussein ibn Ali and said, I have guaranteed to pay a full compensation, but now I see that I cannot do that. I didn't have anything to pay. I said, inshallah, I will get money and I will pay. But now I cannot do that. And I said to myself, I will go to the most generous of all people. And I thought there should be no one more generous than the holy family of the Prophet. وَمَا رَأَيْتُ أَكْرَمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ I thought that no one should be more generous than Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet. So I came to you to help me. Now, well, people usually come and claim such things, especially this Bedouin, whom Imam Hussein wouldn't have known, because he was not from Medina, he was not from any city that Imam Hussein would have known. So, what did Imam Hussein do? This is very interesting. He said, Ya Ahl Arab, As'aluka an thalath masail. I ask you three questions. If you answer me, I will pay you what you want. Why did he say so? Let me go through and then we see what technique Imam Hussein used to find out whether this man is in real need or just claiming, just wanting to rob money from Imam Hussein and go. He said, I will ask you three questions. If you answer me one of them, I will pay you third of what you want. And if you answer two questions, I will pay you two-thirds. And if you answer me all three, I will pay you the whole money. And this Bedouin said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, amisluka yas'alu amisli. Someone like you is going to ask someone like me, how could I answer your questions? وَأَنْتَ مِنْ أَحْلِ الْعِلْمِ وَالشَّرَفِ And you are a scholar, a man of knowledge and dignity. And how could I answer your questions? Imam Hussein said, It might be so. وَلَكِنْ سَمِعْتُ جَدِّي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ يَقُولُ اللَّهُمَّ سَلَّى عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ الْمَعْرُوفُ بِقَدْرِ الْمَعْرِفَةِ I heard the Prophet saying, if you want to do charity to people, do according to their knowledge and understanding. Of course, knowledge and understanding of human relation, of human soul, of how a human should live in this world. Now, if this man was really a robber, was someone to rip off money and go, he wouldn't have been able to answer these questions. In fact, Imam Hussein, by asking these questions from this man, found out that this man is not a liar. He is really in need. And, well, a full compensation is not a little amount of money. It's even today, if you want to put a full compensation for a person, it's really a fortune. And Imam Hussein just asked me three questions, said, I will give up. Not that he was very rich. We have in hadith that when Imam Hussein was martyred, he had lots of debts. And Imam Zainul Abidin later on could liquidate the debts, could pay back the debts. Not that he was very rich, but because he was so generous, so magnanimous in his behavior. And in fact, people with strong faith, they couldn't be but generous because their reliance is in Allah. They see everyone as equal as to themselves. They see all their brethren as someone like themselves. So if they are in need, it's like that if they themselves are in need. This is why, if you remember, I recited a hadith here some while ago from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who said, Talabtul Jannah. Of course, it was a long hadith about many different concepts. But he said, Talabtul Jannah fawajadtuha fissaha. I sought Jannah, paradise, and I found it in generosity. Because generosity is actually significant, not because of itself alone, but because it shows lots of deep internalized concepts of faith in a person. So, Imam Hussein said, okay, I have heard my grandfather Rasulullah that charity is according, should be given out according to ma'rifah. فَقَالَ الْعَرَابِي سَلْ عَمَّا بَدَى لَكَ Okay, ask whatever you want. If I can answer, well, that's good. If I can't, I will learn from you. وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ So, the first question Imam Hussein asked was, أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالَ أَفْضَلِ This is, of course, a case for generosity, a case for trial of a person to see whether he's truthful or not, and a case for teaching others about these questions. Now, he said, أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالَ أَفْضَلِ Which of the acts of course, ethical acts or acts of faith are more meritorious. The Bedouin said, Al-Imanu Billah, faith, having faith in God, is the highest, the most meritorious act. Now, of course, you may say, whether faith is an act or an attitude, we have in our ahadith that we go to a level that's this act and attitude merge with each other. In fact, iman is a kind of act rather than an attitude because it decreases and increases with our actions. This is very much so. The people who lose faith in God and they say that, okay, it's not proven for us, we don't know whether He exists or not, it is because of their actions. And if you go and do good deeds, for a while, you would see how your faith increases. So this is where the acts and the attitude merge into each other very greatly. إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ. The good word, that's the word of faith, goes up or lifts the person up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. And what takes it up is good acts, is acts of charity, acts of worship and all these things. So he said the best of all a'mal is al-imanu billah. Then Imam Hussein said, فَمَنْ نَجَاتُ مِنَ الْمَحْلَكَةِ. What would save a person from the state of going to perdition? فَقَالَ الْعَرَابِ أَسْتَقَةُ بِاللَّهِ. He said, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, these two questions was approved, these two answers were approved by Imam Hussein alayhi salam. فَقَالَ الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فَمَا يُزَيِّنُ الرَّجُلُ. What is the beauty of a person? Okay, what would you think is the beauty of a person? Now, I give you 2 seconds to think before you hear the answer of this A'rabi. What is the beauty of a person? What would embellish the soul of a person? The A'rabi says, فَقَالَ الْأَعْرَابِ عِلْمٌ مَعَهُ حَلْ. Knowledge accompanied by patience over those who are ignorant. This is Helm, of course, which is very, very meritorious, much commended, that if you have knowledge, you have to be careful. You have to care about the ignorant, because they are the people in need to be looked after. You know things, they don't know things, you become impatient, you become angry if they don't understand what you say. So this is, we have in the description of muttaqin, that they have knowledge, but this knowledge is accompanied by patience over the ignorant people. He said, أَلْمٌ مَعَهُ حَلْمٌ. Imam Hussein said, if a person misses this attitude, if he's unknowledgeable, okay, not all people are knowledgeable, so what would be their beauty? If they are not knowledgeable, what is their beauty then? فَقَالَ الْعَرَابِي مَالٌ مَعَهُ مُرُوَّةٌ. A fortune, wealth, having, being rich, accompanied by generosity and thinking about others. Okay, well, not all people are wealthy. Should we say that poor people have no beauty in them? Well, Imam Hussein said, فَإِنْ أَخْطَأَ. If someone misses this, well, if someone is not rich, what is their beauty? فَقَالَ الْعَرَابِي فَقْرٌ مَعَهُ صَبْرٌ. Poverty accompanied by endurance and patience. I think he has covered everything, isn't it? That is, if you are knowledgeable, you have to care about the ignorant. If you are wealthy, you have to be generous. And if you are poor, you have to have endurance. You have to be patient. And, well, what else? Because we are usually of these three categories. Well, if a person is rich, but not generous, it's useless. If a person is poor, but not having endurance and patience, useless. And if a person is knowledgeable, but not having helm. Now, then Imam Hussein says, فَإِنْ أَخْطَأَهُ ذَلَكَ. If someone misses this, neither rich, being generous, nor poor, being patient, nor knowledgeable, being caring about the ignorant, فَقَالَ الْعَرَابِيُّ فَصَاعِقَةٌ تَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَتُفْرَقُهُ. It's better that a tender comes down from the sky and burns the person, because there's no use in a person not having one of these attitudes. And Imam Hussein started to smile. That's فضحك الحسين عليه السلام. How this Bedouin could know about these things? These are the teachings, of course, of the prophets, being prevailing throughout all Muslim land. Even the Bedouins had come to learn about these things. And then after he smiled, he gave him a bag containing 1,000 dinars. As I said, it was a great wealth at that time. And This was all he could afford, Imam Hussein, at that time. And then he gave him his ring, which had a jewel rating about 200 dirham. Not a very great amount of money. But he said, you take this 1,000 dinar for those people to whom you have to pay that compensation, and spend this khatam, this ring, for yourself. And the man took the money while saying, Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata. This is, of course, I mean, anyone reading such an anecdote is really impressed by the way Imam Hussein found out what is the attitude of this person. Is he really in need or not? And then very, very generously giving out the money to him. And not only that, but the money to spend on his nafaqah, on his needs. And as I said, there are many other anecdotes in the same vein. Other people coming to Medina, finding out about Imam Hussein's magnanimity, finding out about his karamah, and going and asking him things. And he gave them, and on his way to Karbala also we find this. Even when he was going to that destiny, he did not actually put aside this character, this kind of attitude. You remember when he came out of Mecca, there were people who were running caravans, who had camels and all these things. He wanted to hire that camels and caravan men, people who were running that caravan, to take them to Kufa. And he told them, whoever of you come with us and thinks that there is a danger, they could return and I will pay them the whole money. And whoever wishes to come with us all along, I will pay them the whole money. And this is what he did actually. And many other things. You heard about him going to Hajj, hiring camels and walking beside them on foot to have the thawab of both spending money on Hajj and walking on foot. And many, many other things that would show how generous Imam Hussein alayhi salam was. Now, it was, of course, not only generosity, but being forgiving and having this attitude of ignoring people's mistakes and rashness. We have many other stories about this again, about Imam Hussein. People coming to him, saying harsh words to him, trying to annoy him, trying to motivate him to become angry and say something which does not deserve a faithful person, but they never could do such a thing. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. اللهم صل على